Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Well, good morning, Portland. It's just about time to get your day started right here. On 10 AM, we'll get up and get started. It's time for Dusty and Cam. When you wake up every morning, just around 6, shower, shave, and coffee, it's time to get that sports fix. Bring a case of the Mondays, then there's Would You Rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today. It's Dusty and Cam.
Which one's crusty and which one's dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
You'll love your dog.
I love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Good morning and happy Thursday to you, the 10th of October, 2019. How you doing, Mr. Cleland?
It's Thursday. How do you think I'm doing?
Good.
How do you think it?
Hey, do you have a football game tonight?
No.
Oh.
Why would I?
High school football.
I don't ever
have a lot of high school footballs on Thursday night.
Thursday nights? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is a...
Is that an Oregon thing?
Well, it's a state in-service day, so a lot of the teams play tonight.
Yeah, there's no school over on the other side of the water for
today?
At least the district. No, on Friday.
So, on Friday,
but the games are still being played.
So, yeah.
On Friday.
On state in-service day, most of the leagues in Oregon, each league votes whether they want to play on Fridays or you can bump it up to Thursdays. Most of them play on this Thursday night.
I don't understand why.
Because they don't have school on Friday.
Yeah, I understand, but that's kind of a day to get hyped and get excited and kind of relax and then enjoy the night football games. Friday night lights. Don't hurt of Thursday night lights. That's no.
Well.
I disagree. A hard disagree on that one.
Well, I mean, you can disagree, but it's happening.
I don't know. I'm not in control of anything. Just hard disagree.
Yep. So, hey, good luck to everybody playing high school football tonight. It's not the day before for high school football in most cases. It is the day of.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Thursday night football, Patriots, Giants. Boy, that'll be a good one.
There is literally nobody on the offense for the Giants. Evan Turner's out.
Well, I think they'll have Evan 11 people.
Evan Ingram is out.
Evan Turner would be interesting.
Would be an interesting tight end. Wouldn't he be a good tight end?
I think 6'7". He would be. Mm-hmm. And he talks smack, which I would love.
I would love that.
That'd be fun to watch
him. Saquon Barkley certainly not playing. They're missing their other wide receiver. Who's left? Golden Tate. That's it. It's the only guy I know.
I saw somebody did the old
Danny Jones
Fresh Prince meme where it's Will Smith looking around an empty house, and they're like, Golden Tate be like, you know, because that's him with the offense tonight.
Yeah, it's going to – that's actually true.
Well, going Danny up against, Dimes will be out there.
Going up against one of the best defenses in – the NFL this year, too, in the New England Patriots, which all of this means Giants are probably going to win, right?
Or else
they're
cover.
Like, yeah, Giants don't have anybody on offense. This isn't going to, no way.
Oh, it's a trap game. This is your sleeper game that happens.
No, I'm just saying that.
Oh, well, you just said that means they're probably going to win.
Well, yeah.
Dusty, is this the best defense they've had under Bill Belichick?
No. That first Super Bowl, the first two Super Bowls that they won, those defenses were damn good.
I didn't follow them close enough then to know, but this one's pretty good.
Tom Brady got his first two rings on the heels of that defense. So,
You know, yeah, what I read this morning
through.
Was that when Daniel Jones was 6 years old, Tom Brady made him cry when he won his second Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Boy, that puts it all in perspective. I've been
in the league for quite a long time.
Crying kid. It's like
read
we
that
get
Brady broke his heart when he was 6 years old because Brady won his second ring.
Prepare the Northwestern braces crying kid. Guy, kid, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That was every Dodger fan last night.
Does Northwestern have the weakest fans in sports? They had.
Describe
they have,
weak.
Well, crying braces kid. And then didn't they have crying piccolo girl?
No, that was Michigan, I believe.
That was Michigan?
I'm pretty sure crying piccolo girl
isn't
was Michigan.
Isn't that just every crying child?
Well, then Michigan may have. Or Michigan maybe may have because they have Surrender Cobra Kid. Where's Piccolo Girl? No, Piccolo Girl is from Virginia.
So you're calling Northwestern kids and their fan base soft.
Well, I thought Piccolo Girl was from Northwestern. You remember her from the NCAA tournament where she was playing in the band?
She was from Villanova.
Villanova. Okay.
Oh, that's Philly. That's not soft because I saw the meme of the kid or the video of the kid that was dumping popcorn all over the fan in front of him. Did you see the box of popcorn he was dumping? That was a Philly kid.
No, I didn't. I don't know what you're talking about.
I would have slapped the parent and probably, I don't know, had some,
where do
had
I find
some choice words
How
to
old
say.
Are we talking here?
We're what, talking probably on? 12, 11, 12.
Okay.
As the parent was letting the kid just dump bags of popcorn all over the fan in front of him.
What?
What would you
really?
Have done? What would you have done if that was, if you really, you think that's funny?
I would have picked my rat fart kid up under my arm and carried him out of the game and been like, gone.
My threat is I'm going to send you by your toenails. That's kind of my threat all the time.
Well, that's torture. I don't even think the Geneva Convention you can do that anymore.
It's all figured. I would have slapped you in the face and said you're an idiot.
That's some old school war torture there, bro.
It's just figuratively.
Wow. Okay. On that note, want to talk sports today?
I don't know. It's Thursday. I look at it like this. There's a lot of off sports topics.
Okay. Well, how about Zion scored 29 points in a preseason game against the Bulls?
Is he going to bring back the two-pointer?
Name two players on the Chicago Bulls right now. Go.
Lauri Markkanen and
Zach LaVine.
Said that with a question mark.
I think he's there after a trade.
Name. Okay. Yeah.
Bobby Portis doesn't play there.
Name the head coach of the Bulls.
No idea.
Hmm.
I don't know head coach of the Bulls.
It's not Hoiberg, is it?
Nope, he got fired last year.
I thought so. I don't know who it is now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a really good question.
Okay. I was just curious. I'd have no idea either, so I didn't think it was that important to even get
Buck,
there.
Find that out.
Head coach Jim Boylan.
Where's
he kept that job?
Apparently.
He was the interim guy after Fred Hoiberg got fired. So they just kept Boylan, huh?
Keep it on in there.
Okay. I would have never thought that. They have Otto Porter Jr. too. Remember that trade?
Yeah, I do remember that trade.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's enough Chicago.
But Zion scored 29 against him.
Good.
He's a dunker. He can still dunk. He's going to bring the dunk back.
He can actually shoot. He can dribble.
They've got former Villanova star Ryan Archie Diacono.
Yeah. You know what the most I'm interested about the NBA this year?
Remember him.
What Dusty already said earlier before the preseason. True Heights coming out.
Yeah, you want to know some of them?
Draymond Green is only 6'5". Did you see that? He's the same height as me. Is that real? Or did they squash him down when they actually measured him?
I don't know.
Originally,
I didn't see
he was
that
6'7".
One. That is very short. Zion,
6'5".
Zion shrunk an inch.
Charles Barkley was only, allegedly, Charles Barkley always said he was 6'6". He's 6'4".
You have
three quarters.
Remember, we're talking about a power forward. You looked at me like, oh, that's not short. For a power forward in the National Basketball Association, that's short.
6'5
is short
this.
For a power forward in the NBA.
I don't know.
So I was looking up the Bulls roster. They have Coby White, who has the huge afro from North Carolina. He was their first-round draft pick. What happens for his height? Does he get the full height of his afro? Or
I don't know. It's
kind of
like Fletch, you know, 6'5".
Is it part of him? Does it count?
That's a great question.
Because that's a difference in like 4 inches on your. Like,
who's the guy with the big full floppy hair from the Magic?
Alfred Payton.
He's never washed it. I think that's his. I know he cut it last year, right?
Yep.
That was horrible.
It's sad. R.I.P. Long hair.
It was.
Also, Dwight Howard is officially 6'9".
Yeah, he was always 6'11".
Well, yeah, nobody ever's like, yeah, right, Dwight, you're not that big.
You're not that tall.
But is Draymond really 6'5"? That's one I didn't see. I saw that Kevin Durant, we have an official height on Kevin Durant, by the way.
Yeah.
6'10".
Oh.
6'10".
Okay.
So he's not 7 feet.
He's not 7 feet.
Well, no. Well, he was actually, he tried to go at 6'9" because he wanted to play perimeter a lot of his career. Yeah. He tried to push that number
Kevin
down.
Kevin Garnett did that.
Kevin Garnett tried to list himself at 6'12" so that he wouldn't be a 7-footer.
Well, yeah, because he said seven-footers don't shoot threes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
So 6'12". And then we have J.J. Barea, who I'm not a big fan of J.J. Barea. He's 5'10". 5'10" J.J. Barea. Guess what he'd been listed as his entire career?
6'2".
Between 6 foot and 6'1" over his career.
Well, if you're not cheating, 5'10". You're not trying. That's a big difference. Is it 3 inches is a big difference?
Yes. Yeah. Cam, if I walked up to you and I go, I'm 6'1".
I really want to know what Spud Webb's real height was. Also, Muggsy Bogues. I feel like I was cheated. I feel like Spud Webb was 5'4", and Muggsy Bogues was 5'1". I feel like they cheated me out of my childhood.
Something tells me they cheated the other way, though. Like, there comes a point where can't cheat going tall, so you cheat short.
5'10", and he's saying he's 5'7"?
Yeah, because who's going to sit there and be like, oh, yeah, that looks right? Especially when you're standing next to Manute Bol. You know, they're going to be like, yeah, that makes sense. You are 5'1", Muggsy. All right, 55305. The Better You Today text line, and hot. Coming in hot early this morning. All right, we've got some foosball to talk about today. Which unbeatens could fall this weekend in college football? Awesome weekend. Dare I say the best weekend of games so far this year on the college football slate. How Justin Herbert's not-so-dominant year is helping him, according to somebody. We have Know Your Foe at 7:30. Buck, have you prepared for that?
Sure have. Got a lot of Buffalo Nuggets.
Cam Cleland will have you getting energized with the Pro Football Challenge at 8 a.m. You have now, people want the upset special out of you, so do you have one prepared for this week?
Ooh. I have my upset special of the week.
Upset.
Am I going to have to make that a thing? I don't know if I want it. I don't know. I mean, because I get one right. I mean, I just shot in the dark.
And you're the one that made a headliner about it. So
Right. I mean, I'm going to flip and take my take.
You got people interested in the upset special. Now people want more.
No, I told everybody to trust me on that, and you should have made a lot of money off me last week. You should have.
Well, so here's the nice thing about it. Now people want their money. They didn't. Now they believe
you.
Trust
me.
Now you got to make them the money.
Trust me.
If it's an upset special, no one can expect it to happen all the time. So you got your one that you needed right. Now you can just spout off whatever you want.
And that's I'm
most of the time it's probably not going to happen, and that's fine.
Right. Mm-hmm. Make my way to the top.
All right. Are you going to unfairly call somebody gay?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not a columnist. I'm not I'm not a bald-faced liar. I'm a bald.
Okay. Are we just going to go gay guys who've hit game-winning shots and walk off home runs?
Wow.
Wow.
That was a good. What?
Jeez, Buck. Jeez,
wow.
That was aggressive.
Your drops are pretty aggressive. Did you know that?
Yeah. 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 I mean, hey, you give me a good rub, sign me up.
See, I'm the nice guy in this room.
Yeah, suck it, Kyler Murray.
Jeez, he's the one that called out Nick Saban. Remember his threat to Nick Saban?
Yeah, we got it right here. Where's that? Where'd Nick Saban go? I think you're a schmuck, Coach Saban.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. 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 Out of context.
He's the one that's
going to
fight Penei Sewell.
Yeah.
In large depends. Actually, you're probably more of a schmedium guy. Don't you think so? Who the schmedium depends on?
Now 19-year-old Penei Sewell.
Yeah, that's right.
19.
An extra year with
19.
Which to kick your
butt. Can't even drink yet.
Now it's a fair fight.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a fair fight. Yeah. All right.
A little cocky in here, aren't you?
Where we start?
I remember it was just like yesterday.
On this date in sports history, 2011. Nelson Cruz of the Texas Rangers hit the first ever postseason walk-off grand slam to give the Rangers a 7-3 win. The win gave the Rangers a 2-0 series lead in the ALCS over the Tigers. Do you know why that is significant today?
I believe you're going to tell me.
Yesterday, we had the second ever grand slam in extra innings in postseason history. Nelson Cruz was the first ever walk-off grand slam. It was also the first ever extra innings grand slam. Yesterday, we had the second, and the Dodgers got their hearts ripped out because of it. 6:16 on the Fan. All right, it is 6:21. Dusty Hare, Cam Cleveland with you. We had two elimination games in Major League Baseball's postseason. The NLCS is set now as the Cardinals thumped the Braves 13-1.
Never seen anything like it.
Nope.
Never seen anything like it.
Have you seen anything like what we saw in the 10th inning against the Dodgers and Nationals as the Nationals punched their ticket to the NLCS with a 7-3 win over the Dodgers?
Oh, I've seen baseball give this like this all the time. I mean, anytime you play the Dodgers, it feels like it's going to be a home run derby. Only, I mean, the amount of runs that, that happens, you've seen it. Dodgers think they got a lead, one run. No, no, no. Here's the other thing about Major League Baseball is that when we see the postseason, there is something about games in prime time that not just elevate the players, but because it's on TV, these day games in Major League Baseball, in my opinion, have destroyed baseball thus far this year. The postseason games where none of us are able to watch it, it's all during the day, and it's all these games and arbitrary. We get to the point where finally we get a what's called a postseason primetime game, and you get drama like that. Sign me up with more of that.
Yeah.
Because we only get it in that primetime slot. That's when you should be watching.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think that...
You mean to tell me a 2 o'clock start is going to give you the same kind of joy to watch those kind of finishes as a primetime would?
The old memories from Facebook pop up, and I was looking at my memories from a couple of years ago, daytime baseball, when the Astros were making their World Series run. They had some really good games in the NLDS against the Boston Red Sox. That series was back and forth, and those were during the day, and those were back and forth games that were going on. I wouldn't just blanket and say all of them.
I would blanket and say is that 2 o'clock on the West Coast or 2 o'clock anywhere, and when you're in day baseballs, it's hard for the whole country to sit back and enjoy it and soak it in. If you think about baseball and memory, you're thinking about those, watching the darkness and seeing those games and if sitting down and watching that. That was pretty epic last night.
Right, yeah, and that's a different conversation. I agree 100% with that because you had something that has only happened one other time in baseball's postseason history, which is a grand slam in extra innings of a postseason game. I mean, that is epic, and it being in a deciding game, too. I mean, that's the first time Howie Kendrick, who's 35 years old, steps up and hits a grand slam with the score tied at 3 for the Nationals. And that game had all the drama in the world leading up to that moment for Howie Kendrick. As it looked like the Dodgers were in control, they bring in Clayton Kershaw after Walker Buehler. He was awesome again in a start for the Dodgers. And in comes Clayton Kershaw, their ace in the 7th. 3 pitches, strikes out the Nationals on the side, and then boom, here we go to the 8th, and Kershaw comes rolling out again. And Anthony Rendon, who's had his number, and not a lot of people do, he comes up, goes yard. The very next pitch, Juan Soto goes yard, and all of a sudden we have a tie game, and it's Clayton Kershaw who blows it. Jeez, man.
Look, this is 100%, not just on... I'm just going to tell you right now that the Dodgers, the team that scored all these runs, you want to say it's on these pitchers and on all of this? The Dodgers in their loss, they lost 4-2, okay, 2 runs scored. They lose again, and they lose again 6-1, and then they lose last night 7-3. That's on your offense, your vaunted home run offense with that killer lineup with Cody Bellinger, Seager, all these guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark, they got thrown right down their throat and said, hey, by the way, pitching does matter in the postseason, and Washington had better pitching. Hello. But they also swung the bat better without their $480 billion player that left in the offseason, Bryce Harper.
You know, can I now say it? I was told I needed to pump the brakes on the Nationals better without Bryce Harper after they won the wild card game, which I was being facetious. But Nationals are better without Bryce Harper. They won a series. They won a postseason series.
I don't know if they're better, but I mean, I'm
they hadn't won a postseason series.
Oh, you take he was the guy that just held the just that the doom and held gloom over the top.
No,
yeah, he was the anchor holding him down.
There is an element of and you know this, you can rally, find something to rally around.
Yeah.
And they found something to rally around. Juan Soto has been huge in not just, he was huge in the wild card game, and it was big last night with his solo home run. But then Scherzer, Strasburg, awesome on the mound for them over the course. And Strasburg comes in, and he gets a hold last night, too. So you're sitting there, and you're looking at the moves that were made. Dodgers, again, Clayton Kershaw struggles in the postseason. Dave Roberts is now being questioned again with postseason pitching and how he's handling his bullpen, because you put Joe Kelly in and let him suffer with the bases loaded instead of going to Kenley Jensen.
Well, Joe Kelly was a star last year for the Red Sox. He came in and shut down the Dodgers and embarrassed it. And last night, the analytic that I watched Joe Kelly do, which I thought was big for Dave Roberts, certainly the Clayton Kershaw thing, whatever. You want to call him a bad postseason pitcher, and he throws two bad pitches. He doesn't throw hard enough in those situations to come out of the bullpen. He's a starter for a reason. He's a starter because he threw an 89-mile-per-hour cutter in the middle of the, I mean, middle in to Juan Soto. And the ball that, I mean, who was it that hit the ball? Rendon hits the ball out of the ballpark. He golfed it. I mean, that ball was down and in. That was just a great piece of hitting. The next pitch, that one was a massive mistake. You don't
hanger.
You don't hang an 89-mile-an-hour to Juan Soto on the inner half.
Whammy.
He obliterated that baseball.
Yes, he did.
I'm not as, I mean, the Clayton Kershaw thing, the Joe Kelly one was, that to me was the biggest mistake. Because I watched Joe Kelly, who was a 100-mile-an-hour thrower, okay? He came in and threw 85% off-speed pitches. 85%. So whatever the analytics said is that Washington had a problem with off-speed pitches. He came in and he throws the ball 98, 99. Easily he can reach triple digits. He's breaking stuff off at 89 to 90. And then what are the two pitches that he gave up the home runs on or the home run on? Pitcher's sitting on it. They're just waiting for it. He said, eventually you're going to bring it. You're going to bring it. And he throws a 98-mile-an-hour middle in. See you later.
Bang.
Gonzo.
And that
is why. That's why I say Joe Kelly was not in his normal rhythm. He was told analytically in both the three at-bats prior.
Do you know that? He was told that? I mean, because that would be.
Those are the pitch calls. He's shaking. You can see him shaking it off the catcher with his beautifully painted fingernails, by the way. I love how guys do that.
Love that.
He threw all off speed. When Joe Kelly's at his best, watch him last year with Boston. He works off his fastball, not his off speed.
Right.
So he's not in his normal rhythm, and he certainly knows that you're not trusting me with my fastball. You're making me throw all off speed to these guys because the analytics said it. I'm sorry, he wasn't in that same rhythm.
But then when he threw the fastball, as you said, they deposited over the
fence. That's because it wasn't his go-to pitch.
I mean, that is, woo.
He has an elite fastball, and they didn't trust it. So there you go.
And they paid dearly for it. And how about Howie Kendrick? I mean, he's 35 years old, and he's having like a career year for the Nationals. He's hitting 344. Now, he doesn't qualify for average and all that stuff because he doesn't have the plate appearances. He only played in 121 games. Only has like 300 plate appearances, but he's hitting 344 and he is 35. What a great story for him. I didn't even know
he was. Isn't he former Dodger?
Former Dodger, former Angel, all LA guy.
Yeah.
You know, and
pretty cool.
Howie Kendrick finding a way to make an impact in this postseason. That was sweet to see. And they are absolutely loaded. The Washington Nationals lineup, when you look at Juan Soto, Rendon, and then their pitching staff. Hot teams.
Feels like a Cinderella, doesn't it?
Well, it does, especially since, remember in May when Dave Martinez was supposed to be fired?
Yeah.
Like, people were talking about, Martinez is out as the manager of the Nationals. And there's no way that they can keep this up. There's no way that the Nationals are going to be able to
sweep the cards. I mean, this is how they're juiced up they are. I mean, they've knocked off the Dodgers, the best team in the National League. Just knocked them off. Embarrassed them. Shut them down with pitching. And hit the ball out of the ballpark multiple times when they were not a home run. I mean, they weren't compared to the Dodgers when it comes to flying the ball out of the yard.
You know what's scary, though?
Beat them at their own game.
What's scary and exciting for both of these teams, hot hitting, that wins in the postseason, right? I mean, hot hitting in your dominant pitching,
good
obviously.
Pitching, I mean, good pitching,
yes.
Pretty, you can,
that goes. But when your bats get hot and it's contagious, does contagious hitting get more hot than what the Cardinals saw yesterday when they put up 10 runs in the first inning?
Mm-hmm.
10.
Oh, but I'm sorry. I didn't see it because it was in the middle of the day. Stupid. It's right here with me, right here on the Better You Today text line. Daytime baseball's for weekends. Primetime baseball's for weekdays.
I agree.
100,000,000%
I agree.
Correct.
I agree.
It was midweek crap that I didn't even get to see it.
Right. And not being able to see it is one thing. And especially when you get a historic performance like that, you would hope that it would be on there.
Right.
I'm just saying we do get good games, and that's unfortunate that a big swath of the country can't see it.
Here's the other thing. When the Nationals make the World Series, there'll only be one team left that hasn't made the World Series.
How do you feel about that? How many Mariners, next former segment. Mariners, will be playing in that World Series?
Let's cue the 1995 question. Edgar hit.
Well, that was the...
Please, can I just cue the...
The division series. The moment in Mariner history.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, but you know what is actually good for the Mariners?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not, they are not... You sit there and you look at the disappointment of the 119 win regular season, or 117 win regular season, where they got bounced in the LCS, right?
Yep, yep.
Well, now we've had two 100 loss teams losing the divisional round.
Waste of time, man. All those stats, you want to be really good? Only the Yankees can pull this off. They're the only team that can back up their regular season with postseason wins. Consistently, over and over. And they're also one of the only teams that can overpay a payroll and actually get performance out of their payroll. Because then you can justify it over and over again. Because the Dodgers overpay, and they never get over the hump by winning the title. Yankees only got like 28 of them, 27. They got a lot.
Well, I hope the Astros can buck that trend that you're talking about.
We'll find out. Hopefully you don't get another big-time upset.
They could become the third 100-win team to lose in the
divisional
round. We're on
par for National Tampa Bay World Series.
Don't.
We're on par.
Don't. The D.C. Tampa Series, the one everybody's been clamoring for. All right, 55305, the better you today text line. Let's talk some foosball, shall we? College football, the best weekend of the season so far is coming up this weekend. Which unbeaten team is the most likely to fall? Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Come out to the coast. We get together, have a few laughs.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us on the Better You Today text line at 55305 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
55305, the Better You Today text line. Dusty Herrick, Cam Cleland with you. You know that there are 16 unbeaten teams remaining in college football?
I know it now.
There are 16 of them.
Who's the best one? Who's the best one right now? Who's the best one? I'm going to stand with the Ohio State Buckeyes. That's the one I'm going to stand with. That's who I believe is the number one team in the country right now.
It's a very tough question.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yeah, because you've got Alabama, Clemson, which I don't think Clemson is close.
I don't think Alabama's going to win it this year because I think they have a Sark problem.
Georgia, LSU, and Ohio State all deserve to be in that conversation. Oklahoma should be in that conversation, too. You have six teams.
I agree.
That are all really good teams.
Is it a different question wondering who do you think is the best versus who has the best resume?
No, we're not talking resume. I'm just talking about purely by watching games and what I think, watching college football, that's why I think Ohio State right now has been the most impressive. My number two team
would be Oklahoma. LSU is my, because they've been drug into deep water. Their offense has found a way out of it, and they're going to be getting healthy on the defensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm. They had to beat Texas, at Texas, right?
Right. Yeah, and that's getting drug into deep water where they got into a shootout that they were really uncomfortable in.
And we'll find out with the Red River rivalry this weekend. If Texas gets two losses, will that change your mind?
No, because their two losses would be to Oklahoma and LSU.
And if LSU ends up knocking off who this weekend? Florida.
The LSU's got Florida.
But Florida beats LSU. Does that change your mind?
I think that game will tell us a ton about that. That's two unbeatens going at it. Yeah, LSU and Florida. Good. They'll play each other at...
What is the jealousy in this conference?
5 o'clock ESPN. I think that game will tell us a lot about Auburn. Because Auburn, if LSU just absolutely boat races Florida, you're sitting there, you're going,
I know, but that's... Gosh dang, I know I just yelled it, but the jealousy of of not getting to have that kind of excitement wrapped around in a conference. Look, Auburn's schedule the rest of the year. You said it yesterday. Dear Lord.
Yeah.
But yeah, LSU is exciting. Joe Burrow is a closet, not just a closet one. He's on his way to the Heisman. If he wins this game and continues to play, I think they beat, if they win this game, they beat Alabama. I'm going to call it right now.
LSU?
If they beat Florida, they're going to end up beating Alabama. I'm just, I mean, Alabama's got unbelievable talent, and they got Tua Tagovailoa, and they got the best wide receiver in the game. I just don't think their offense is that great right now. I don't. And this is a Sark bias that I have, so sign me up. All right, tell me what you want.
A little bit.
I love what Lincoln Riley does and certainly what Ohio State does.
See, and that's going to be the question for me is defensively, is Oklahoma up to the task? Because you're going to get, and this is what happens, is that their offense will be able to score. We all know that.
Well, they got a good coordinator.
But if you get into...
Oklahoma's got a good defense coordinator.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
But if you get into a shootout, will it be this year? Will it be the difference? Because this is what happened when they played Georgia in that Rose Bowl, remember?
Right.
Is that it was... The shootout came to fruition, and their defense couldn't hold up.
This is my utopia this year, and I'm sorry. You know what? SEC, congratulations. I think you're going to chew yourself up this year. I do. I think you're going to eat yourself alive. And I want to see. This is what I'm excited to see, an Oklahoma versus Ohio State national championship game. I want to see Alex Grinch try to shut it down. I want to see what Oklahoma can do.
That'd be fun.
I want to see Ohio State take back the reins from the Big Ten and say, we haven't been in. All right, let's come on back. Let's show you what we can do offensively. That would be refreshing. That's something that I'd be super excited to watch because the SEC is that much better. I think they're going to eat each other up this year.
Well, they do every year, but unlike every other conference, they get credit for it where every other conference in the country...
Well, they deserve credit.
Well, every other conference in the country is like, well, see, told you they weren't that good.
They deserve credit.
But it's like Texas A&M right now.
Yeah.
Are they deserving of being the 24th ranked team in the country? They are 3-2 on the year. Any tough test that they've had, they have failed. And their wins are over Texas State, Lamar University, and Arkansas. They're going to get hammered this weekend
but
by
their losses
Alabama.
Are to who?
To Clemson and Auburn.
Auburn.
And they haven't really been close.
Mm-mm. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. They but weren't I mean, blowouts, but it, they, I mean,
college, 24 to 10 to Clemson? 14
points. A college blowout is 28 points.
But if you're sitting there and you're going, did you ever feel like A&M was going to win?
I don't know. You had to watch it first.
They got a score late against Auburn.
They get the benefit of the doubt of being a Jimbo Fisher coach team in the SEC and being
from
Texas.
And that's what I'm saying. And that's
100%.
That's exactly what I'm saying is every other conference in the country, like, oh, if we look at it, what was Washington ranked last week?
13. No.
15.
15.
What are they ranked this week?
Well, they're off the map.
Okay. Because they have two losses.
Yeah. Yeah, but they lost to an unranked team.
Right.
Lost to UCF, who also got thumped by Oregon.
See,
that's not the same as losing to Clemson and Auburn.
But you go benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I know.
But you go from 15th to unranked.
Yeah.
Utah.
Yeah.
They went from 15th to unranked. Cal went from 15th to unranked.
Yeah.
You know.
I know. I can't argue against that. But that is what this conference gives you is... Is that if you had two unbeatens in this conference, that's when I said, is Oregon could have won, the what ifs.
Yeah.
The only ones that are holding flags up right here that we're check us out. We're really good. That's what the Pac-12 is trying to do. They're trying to wave their flag. Oh, no, we're really good.
Hey, look at us. We're really trying
on the outside. It's like the Wazoo flag at every college game day. Look, we're still important. Look, old Crimson, here I am.
It's like, what is it, the Three Amigos?
Yeah.
Look.
Look, I'm right here. Look at here. I'm the shiny little object. You can still look at me.
All right. With all of this said, we've got, of the 16 unbeatens, a lot of them have stiff tests, if not very tough ones this week. You've got number 6, Oklahoma, in the Red River Rivalry.
I knocked it out of the park. You stumbled.
Against 11 Texas. Yes.
It's hard.
I hate
very,
that
very
game.
Hard.
The Red River Shootout.
Oh, you're going to offend some people. Dusty.
Why is that offensive?
It's offensive. We shouldn't. It's just you're going to be outraged and offended.
That's because guns, bro.
Stupid.
Weapons.
Okay. Then you, because of weapons.
Just so people know they won't be shooting each
other. Nobody's going to be shooting anybody.
But like we use the term a shootout in football, and this is the Big 12 where it happens all the time.
Look, man. Getting triggered. Whoops! I said that one
Don't
too.
Don't you dare. Mm-hmm. All right, then you have Alabama taking on the road. Going to Kyle Field, taking on Texas A&M. Michigan State is a tough test against Wisconsin, who is unbeaten.
That game is going to be a snore.
Well, but, or it could be.
Michigan State's got a good defense. They just don't have a good offense.
Great Big Ten football.
Yeah, what do you do? What do you do with Wisconsin? What do you do with them?
10 in the box and don't even guard the guy on the right.
I mean, what are you going to do? You can't stop the run?
What would you say you do here?
Yeah, you don't pass.
No.
You're one-dimensional. Yeah. I like Wisconsin, but you can't hold up to the better teams. Wisconsin's a good football team. They just, I mean, Michigan, and you watched it, I mean, they just got, it's embarrassing.
You have USC going on the road, taking on, and Notre Dame's not unbeaten, but taking on a Notre Dame team that's ninth in the country. And then you have unbeaten Penn State. This is Penn State's first real true test of the year, and it's against 17th ranked Iowa. Okay. Penn State right now is 5-0 with wins over Idaho, Buffalo, Pitt, Maryland, and Purdue.
Not really a signature win yet, but they're undefeated. They deserve respect.
And this is the game where they are starting to go through a gauntlet where they will have a tough test at Iowa this week and then Michigan the following week. So of these games, I think this is the best slate that we'll have in college football so far this year. Who's going down of those top-ranked teams? 55305, Dustin Cam on the Fan. Which of the top-ranked teams that are having stiff competition this week have the look, you think?
Wow.
See what I did there? Have the look of a champion. We've got some great games across college football.
None are in the Pac-12. I'm just piling on right now.
You shut your mouth.
No, I'll shut my mouth when
you're
they become relevant.
You're not excited for Washington State, Arizona State?
No.
And here's the thing, is that we all know what's going to happen this week.
Yeah, is that teams are going to lose.
If Arizona gets a win over Washington, you're looking at 5-1, they got to be ranked.
Yep.
Okay, Washington's going to go on the road because they're going to get an answer. They're going to win. Arizona won't get ranked.
You feel like they're going to win on the road?
No, this is what I'm saying.
Oh, you're saying, okay, all right, go ahead.
This is how it always plays out in the Pac-12.
Gotcha.
Washington State, goes on the road to Arizona State. Arizona State's finally ranked 18th. They're 4-1 on the year. Everybody's going to be like, hey, this is going to be another solid win for Arizona State. They could climb the rankings. No, the Cougs will win in Tempe. Right.
Well, you're not mentioning what the biggest game should be, the biggest game for the Pac-12 every single year for representation of the number one brand in the conference playing against arguably the greatest brand in college football history.
Oregon State, Utah.
No. Oh. USC, Notre Dame. This game has, I mean, every time this is like a must-see TV, should always be must-see TV. USC is going to go on and get stomped. If they get stomped, they're going to get stomped. What happens if they win? If they beat Notre Dame? Is the Pac-12 back?
Oh, no, they're going to get stomped.
Did he get stomped?
Yeah.
Touchdown Jesus is not going to bless USC, huh?
Mm-mm. No. What's the weather going to be like over in South Bend, Indiana?
Clear and 50.
Is that really what it's going to be at kickoff? Oh, look at that.
That's what AccuWeather says.
That's best case scenario for...
And there's no thick grass there. That's all field turf, so you can't argue that they're going to slow the field down like they used to.
You see the news story about Spokane? They got like 4 inches of snow.
Yeah. Did you watch the kids from Montana in golf? They were trying to... The state championships golf in that whole north side because they play fall golf. We play fall golf down here for Vancouver.
They got to wait for it to thaw out.
Their kids were finishing their round with like an inch of snow on the golf course, and they're trying to finish. They had to sweep away tracks to be able to putt.
That would suck.
Yeah, anyway.
Isn't that improving your life?
That was a quick tangent. That is improving your life.
Okay, 55305, the Better You Today text line. There are good games in the Pac-12, intriguing ones matchup-wise, but they don't move the needle nationally outside of that USC-Notre Dame game. Which is the team that is going to fall? You got Oklahoma taking on Texas.
Oklahoma
6-11.
Wins. Oklahoma wins that game.
Okay.
Oklahoma's a better football team. I think they win that football game.
Which ones do you think it is? Oh, look at this one. Oh, this text just says, OSU will upset Utah. Done.
Ooh, I like that.
Defense got to hold up.
If we're going to go full scorched earth and go chaos, let's go chaos. Pac-12. Let's just slaughter each other.
Did you say Utes?
Yeah, two Utes.
I wouldn't mind that.
Just slaughter each other. Everybody's getting three losses across the conference.
Whatever. And then hopefully just like the bowl season comes along and they win their bowl games. Because this text says on the Better You Today text line, is like, hey, if the Pac-12 wins their bowl games, then they might think that they're good.
Well, Oregon beat them 7-6. Beat Michigan State. Michigan State,
yeah.
Beat 7-6.
It was an offensive shootout. Wisconsin, Michigan State. Am I crazy for thinking that might be the game that Wisconsin stubs their toe?
Yeah.
Because Michigan State is one of those teams that you
they're go. They're good defense.
All right. Their back's against the wall. They do have a great defense, really good against the run.
Not great offense.
Not a great offense. And, you know, they held, and this is going to sound stupid, but they held Ohio State to 34 points. You've seen their offense in Ohio State and the explosiveness that they have.
Yeah, I mean, versus good, that's the thing is how good is Wisconsin's defense? I don't know, because versus Northwestern, they played pretty well versus Northwestern. I mean, that's they had a couple turnovers, but Northwestern was, I mean, it was just it was an ugly football game. But even we say that Michigan State doesn't have very good offense, they still can score. I mean, they put 40 up versus Indy. They put 31 versus Northwestern. Okay, but versus ASU, they only won 10-7. I think that's the game. But then they lost to Ohio State. They only put 10 points versus Ohio State.
Wah, wah.
That's why Ohio State's a really good football team. I see this game being like what I watched Michigan-Iowa last weekend. What was that?
That is the same conversation that the Big Ten people probably... Like, if we were to go to listen to a radio show in Madison, Wisconsin, they're saying the same things about Pac-12 football. Don't you think? Like, they're like...
Because their conference is better. That.
And is it, though?
100 times
You have
times
Ohio
better.
State.
Michigan is better.
Michigan is better than...
Yeah, Michigan is better than a lot of teams in this conference. Yes, they are. Yes. Yes, they are. Iowa is better.
Well, a lot of teams in the conference, but then you look at it and you go...
Top to bottom, the Big Ten's a better conference.
If you were to go Oregon and Michigan in a game, or Oregon and, say, Washington...
If I matched up Oregon and Michigan right now, I believe Oregon would beat Michigan.
Okay.
But I'm talking about overall.
Well,
we're talking about for our conference.
But Ohio State is the top tier, and this is the big, and this is what we say all the time. Pac-12's problem is they do not have an elite team.
No, they don't. You have two teams in the Big Ten right now.
That is why
in the top 10.
You are saying
yes.
they are better, right? Yes, 100%.
And they actually have three teams that are, I mean, should get more play, but you have Penn State will find out more, but give a team that's 5-0 some respect. We need to.
No, yeah. Well, so is Minnesota, but are we respecting Roll the
no,
Boat?
No, because Minnesota is not a national brand that's been there and done that, and their coach is better. I mean, Penn State's coach is just better.
I like
James Franklin.
Franklin
is a better football
coach.
I
love James Franklin.
But having two teams in the pack, and not only in the top 10, you have another one just outside the top 10, that makes your conference much, much better.
And there's also a thing with, like, all right, Wisconsin is good. Their defense is very good. Their offense is not, but at what position does the Pac-12 have the best player in the country?
Yeah, quarterback. Oregon Ducks.
You think Justin Herbert's the best quarterback in the entire country?
No, I think the best player in this conference is Justin Herbert.
Okay.
But, and then if I'm going to go around, find all these great players, I mean, Pittman is the second best player in this conference, the wide receiver for USC.
Yeah, Michael Pittman.
Yeah.
But Jerry Jeudy is the best receiver in the country. Like, what Wisconsin, my point is, what Wisconsin has going for it is that they have the best running back in the country in Jonathan Taylor. Like, their offense may be bad, but they have the best running back in the country right now. Mm-hmm. And that helps your perception and your brand. The Pac-12 not only does not have an elite team, they're missing an elite player who is
running back,
who is
defender.
Truly the best player at his position in the entire nation.
When is the last time the Pac-12 has had a Heisman winner?
Well, Marcus Mariota.
Right. When he was
not that long ago.
It doesn't seem that long ago, does it? But it was a quarterback position that carried the top team and carried it all the way to the national championship game. That's what it takes anymore. That's how it works.
Yeah.
We're waiting for it.
Yeah.
It's just a lot harder to find out here.
55305, the Better You Today text game or text line. Biggest game in the Pac-12, USC wins, saves Helton. Huskies and Cougs win big. Ducks lose to the Buffs, and the Pac-12 is officially out of the playoff.
You and Dustin going full crazy.
That, hey,
I like it. I mean, chaos. It's potential. Not to say I like that idea, but
P1 Zola, wouldn't be surprised if USC upsets. Notre Dame is always overrated. USC has the dudes. They have the dudes to do it. Can they ever put it together, though? Or does Clay Helton get fired on the tarmac if it's embarrassing? We've already had a tarmac tweet.
He's not going to get fired. He's not going to get fired. Let's just let him go in the offseason. You're not going to fire him during the season.
Mm. Do you think Oregon beats Auburn with Jonathan Taylor? That from Dambo. Yeah.
I don't know if Oregon would know how to use Jonathan Taylor.
What? Well, it's just a completely run the ball.
I know, but it's a completely run different ball. Blocking scheme.
Run,
it's a
run,
completely
run,
different
run,
running
run,
game.
Run. He's really good, though.
No, I know. But it's like they had a guy named Royce Freeman that was kind of just the same dude.
Well, they used him. Well,
they ran a lot of edge zones with him, and I like it.
Guys being dudes.
I like running downhill.
Didn't he have like 1,000 yards?
Yeah, he did, but all they ran is zone read with the guy.
Well, they wouldn't do that offense.
No, I know Oregon doesn't have that. But they still have that.
God, that'd be so good.
They run their bob and they run their dives schemes.
I like this. Imagine Jonathan Taylor with Oregon's O-line. Yeah, it is. Wisconsin's O-line. Really good.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's offensive line is
Wisconsin
a bunch of dudes.
Brings in three another former tight ends that are now offensive linemen, and they just bully you.
Yeah. 55305. Going to answer this question about Oregon State on the other side of the break. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.